Hello friends, I am Soumendra Naik and I welcome you to this next session on rural dynamics. And today's chapter of discussion is about rural development policies. So when we talk about policy, let us first define what does a policy mean. So policy is defined as a definite course of action which is selected either by government or an institution or a group or even an individual from among the alternatives that are available in the light of given conditions to guide and to determine the present and future course of decisions. So, public rural development policy means the actions taken by the government in the pursuit of certain objectives of rural development. India has chosen to establish a socialist pattern of society. So, what does it mean? Like, when India has decided this socialist pattern, it always meant that the basic criterion for determining the lines of development must not be private profit, but social gain or community gain as a whole. The pattern of development and the structure of economic relations should go planned, and they result in not only appreciable increases in national income and employment, but also greater equality in income and wealth. So it should be not just incremental, even it should be transformational to a great extent. Agriculture production is more vulnerable to unexpected changes in nature. Hence it is which fluctuates violently. If we talk about the agriculture production, so India is a country in which we have less than 50% of irrigated lands. So what is happening is like these farmers are very much prone or vulnerable to all the adverse effects of the environment. So if there is less rain or scarcity of rain, it creates a drought-like situation where the farmers are not able to irrigate their crops. So whenever there is excess of rain, it creates floods. So when there is flood or either drought, that's a complete loss of crop for a season to the farmers. And Indian farmers are almost like hand-to-mouth of condition in many parts of India. So what happens is like whenever there is a crop failure, they are left with no other issues, but they do not have any funds in hand which they can reinvest in the next season. So they are empty-handed. So most farmers in India being small-scale operators, if we talk about India as a nation, we have almost like 84% of the farmers who fall under the small and the marginal category. So these farmers who have less than 2 hectares of land, and they cannot bear the consequences of fluctuations in farm output prices as well as the incomes. They need some kind of protection from the adversities of the climate, from the adversities of the market and the fluctuation of the prices in the market and any kind of ungenerous nature. So such protection can be provided only by the government in the form of price support, insurance or credit policies. So what are the goals of rural development policy? If we talk about the goals, there are two main goals: increasing the overall national income and improving the distribution of national income among the members of the society. The goals that seek to achieve growth and equality need to be seen in the context of the following 4 dimensions of state policy. So when we talk about these policies, they are the quality of life of the citizens, they are the generation of productive employment, they are the regional balance, and finally the self-reliance. So friends, now we are going to talk about a policy which is impacting not just India, even about the entire world as a whole. This is about the forest. So earlier we had the forest policy in India, which is being overacted by national forest policy. So forestry in India plays a very significant role in the rural industry as well, and is a major environmental resource contributor. So India ranks among the top 10 most country which has the largest resource in terms of forest. And if we put together India and the other 9 nations of the world, we have almost like 67% of total forest of the world existing in these countries. So currently in India, we have about 24.3% of land covered under the forest, and this in absolute terms can be somewhat compared to around 8 lakh square kilometer or about 70 million hectares out of the total geographic area of India. India's forest cover grew at 0.2% annually in the 1990s, in that decade from the year 1990 to 2000, and has grown at a rate of 0.7% over from 2000 to 2010, after decades where forest degradation was a matter of serious concern. As of 2010, FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization, which is the apex body in the world of United Nations, it estimates India's forest cover to be about 68 million hectares or 22% of the country's total geographical area. In the year 2013, forest cover of India, including all its states, it has increased to 69.8 million hectares by 2012. This is as per the satellite measurements which are taken from the satellites. This represents an increase of 5,871 square kilometer, which were added in just a span of 2 years. India has had a forest policy since 1984. This policy was overarched by the forest policy which was revised in the year 1988, known as the National Forest Policy. The main plank of this policy is protection, conservation, and development of forest. The salient features of this revised policy of 1988 are: number one, the minimum of 1/3 of the total land area of the country has to be brought under forest or tree cover. When it is some areas like the mountain or the hilly terrain, we have a mandate where actually 2/3 of the entire coverage has to be under the forest cover. This is mainly with a view to stop the land degradation and to check the kind of landslides that happen, destroying the mountains year after year. Total protection of tropical rainforest or moist forest, this is the second mandate. The third objective is the extent of forest use for grazing and extraction will be determined on the basis of carrying capacity of the forest. Involvement of tribals or forest dwellers in protection, regeneration, and development of forest is to be encouraged. Here, we have to lay special emphasis on such facts like shifting cultivation, which is very much detrimental to the forest of India. So it has to come down or it has to be checked wherever possible with the tribals. So forest-based industries would have to raise their own plantations to meet their requirements, and the practice of supplying any kind of forest produce which is much needed for their business to run. So now they have to take care of their own environment, and they have to reproduce them through various other plantations and social forestry or any other means. The new draft of the National Forest Policy in the year 2018, which was revised after the 2016 revision of this draft, and this addresses new realities. The first one is the climate change. It also addresses the human-animal conflict, which is becoming very often and very common these days, because human beings are going ahead and they are grabbing the land from the forest areas for their rehabilitation, where actually they are encountering a kind of animal-human conflict. Then the third one is about the declining green cover. So this policy, it proposes the climate change mitigation through sustainable forest management. The new policy, it aims to bring a minimum 1/3 of India's total geographic area under forest cover. It has to come through scientific interventions as well as enforcing strict rules to protect the dense cover. This also checks the kind of sand dunes in the desert areas or the coastal areas which actually desertify a lot of forest coverage. As per the new forest policy, the public-private participation models will be developed for undertaking afforestation, reforestation, and social forestation activities in degraded forest areas and forest areas are available with forest development corporations and outside forests also. As per the new policy, as far as Community Forest Resources Management under Forest Rights Act is concerned, the new policy will address the same under Participatory Forest Management, and the same will be addressed through the proposed Community Forest Management Mission. So friends, after discussing about the forest policy and about all about the National Forest Policy, so now we are going towards another very important policy that is very much essential for the development of the rural people. So this is mainly pertaining about the agrarian land reforms, and this policy is known as the land reform policy. So land reform policy is normally done with two distinct objectives. The first objective is about increasing the overall production coming out of those agrarian lands. The second objective is to eliminate any kind of exploitation that is happening in the social injustice done due to the agrarian, particularly pertaining to the agrarian society. So with this objective, a sound land reform policy, it can contribute significantly to the agricultural and rural development. The land policy should be as such that it ensures the scientific, sustainable and intensive use of land. It creates productive employment and generates a lot of employment, particularly to that local area where people come out and they earn out of their livelihood out of them. It also reduces the disparities in the distribution of land. It also provides the kind of incentives to increase the productivity of land, and which increases year after year due to a continuous effort. And then finally, these policies, it enables a wider participation of landowners as well as the tenants in the overall process of the development. So this policy categorizes various activities like the tenants rehabilitation, efforts that the people put in, and this is mainly to consolidate and encourage kind of cooperative farming, which will actually increase the productivity in that region. The policy of 2000, this was an approach to land reform, and with this, it is all about consolidation of holdings all over the country on the pattern of northwestern states. The redistribution of ceiling, surplus lands and wastelands among the landless farmers. This was a kind of land ceiling act which came into force. And the unemployed youth who had nothing to do or were almost landless, they were distributed with lands by government with some kind of initial startup capital. Then the tenancy reforms to recognize the rights of the tenants and the sharecroppers. Then it was about the development of lease markets for increasing the size of the holdings by making legal provisions for giving private lands on lease for cultivation of agribusiness. Then it was about update and improvement of land records, particularly like digitizing those records in the form of computerization and issue of land passbooks to the farmers. There are few states in India who have completely gone onto the digitization mode. For example, states like Karnataka, who have kept all their records on a digitized platform. Then we have the recognition of women's rights in land, because there was a certain time when the rights of women was never recognized on a piece of land. And now with this, the women are getting a lot of empowerment. Then this also focuses on the rural poor will be, and they will be increasingly involved in the implementation of land reforms with the help of Panchayati Raj institutions, voluntary groups and several other social activists and community leaders working in their areas. The central government of India has released a draft of an ambitious new national land reform policy that could help the country end landless and extreme rural poverty. India currently has an estimate of 50 million rural landless poor families and tens of millions of more who have insecure rights to their lands. Both groups are trapped in generation of poverty. and this generational poverty and account for the majority of the India's malnourished and hungry people. The new national land reform policy has 5 goals. Distribute land to all rural landless poor. Restore land unjustly taken from vulnerable communities such as Dalits, untouchables, the tribals whose land has been acquired as such. Protect the lands of the Dalits and tribals in particular, including the commons that they depend on going forward. Fourth is about the liberalization or leasing laws. And the fifth and the final one is about the improve the land rights of women. Particularly, women are in focus about these policies. Talking about the land acquisition in India, it refers to the process by which the union or a state government in India acquires private land for the purpose of industrialization, development of infrastructural projects or facilities, and urbanization of the private land. In return, they provide compensation to the affected landowners for their rehabilitation and resettlement in a better way. And this is what the landowners have a rights to occupy. Talking about few examples which happened in the recent past about the land acquisition is about major Indian infrastructure project such as the Yamuna Expressway. There it was 2800 crore was paid for the land, and this was over like 17,50,000 per acre, which was paid between the year 2007 till 2009. So after talking about the forest policy as well as the land reform policies, the next element that we are talking about is the water policy. So when we talk about the national water policy, let us first talk about few numbers which shows the importance of water in our country. India accounts for 18% of world population and about 4% of world water resources. India has been successful in creating live water storage capacity of about 253 billion cubic meter so far. One of the solutions to solve the country's water woes is to link the rivers, lakes across the country. There are several attempts which has been made since many decades for interlinking the rivers, but due to this vastness of the geography of India, there are certain hindrances, particularly when certain mountain ranges come in between this human effort of interlinking the rivers. The major provisions under this policy are to establish a standardized national information system with a network of data banks and databases. Resource planning and recycling for providing maximum availability. The national water policy also gives importance to the impact of projects on human settlements and environment after the rehabilitations. It also gives the guidelines for the safety of storage dams and other water related structures. The major provisions under the policy are to regulate the exploitation of groundwater, because in certain geography we see lot of exploitation of groundwater mainly for the agriculture purpose. If we talk about India as a country as a whole, about 70% of the water which is wasted is being wasted through irrigation by over exploitation of groundwater for agriculture purposes. So settling water allocation priorities in the following order: drinking water, then irrigation, then hydropower, and then navigation, and then finally industrial and other uses. The water rates for surface water and groundwater should be rationalized with due regard to the interest of small and marginal farmers. The main emphasis of national water policy, which was framed in the year 2012, is to treat water as an economic good, which the ministry claims to promote its conservation and efficient use of it. This provision intended for the privatization of water supply or water delivery services is being criticized due to various reasons, as it is one of the most element like most essential element of life. Since in the rural development, agriculture plays a very crucial role, so confirming a agricultural price is very important. Hence, there is also existing the agriculture price policy. So agriculture price policy, it plays a pioneer role in the economic development of a country. It is a very important instrument which provides incentives to farmers for motivating them to go in for production-oriented investment and technology. So agriculture pricing policy, it has two important objectives. One is to get the best possible remuneration for the farmers who are encouraged to invest more and increase the production as well as productivity of their farm produce. The second objective is always to check the prices of escalating commodities due to various reasons, maybe due to people as who are involved as intermediaries in the whole value chain, and to check those prices and to make it at a reasonable price for the consumer is the second important objective for this agriculture price policy. The Government of India, it announces each year the procurement or support prices for major agricultural commodity and organizes purchase operations through public agencies. This is mainly done to help out those growers or farmers who produce these agricultural commodities. Many times what happens, either due to oversurplus or due to lack of demand, the farmers who produce the commodity, they are not able to sell them at a best possible price, due to which even they have to incur a loss compared to what all things they have invested in the farm to produce that agricultural commodity. So to support them or to help them out from making a distress sale, the government normally comes up with a support price which is declared every season. Need of agricultural price policy is due to various factors. The first one being the violent fluctuations in agricultural prices, especially of the commodities, which has a very harmful impact. For instance, a steep decline in the price of a particular crop in a few years can inflict heavy losses to the growers of that crop. Many times, the farmers are not in a position to reinvest for the next season or to take up a new crop in the next season if they have suffered losses in this particular season. This will not only reduce the income but also dampen the spirit to cultivate the same crop in the coming years. If this happens to be a staple food item of the people, supply will remain below the demand. It will force the government to fill the gap by restoring imports in case of no buffer stock. This is to see with a live example that happened this year was about the onion prices, which escalated and skyrocketed beyond the roof. So what has happened due to one bad season where the rains have damaged the onion crop, so people were not able to produce or not able to supply the amount of onion that is demanded by the country for domestic consumption. So what happened is like the prices went up very high, and then the government has to intervene and they came up with policies to import onion from other nations. So with this, tons of onions arriving at India's port from other nations through imports, so now the prices are declining. But this may be a very like adverse scenario for the farmers. If, on the other hand, prices of a particular crop increases rapidly in a particular period, then the consumer will also definitely suffer. In case the prices continues to increase for the particular crop, this can disastrous effect can come on to the sector of the society and to the whole economy as a whole.